Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Who's dumber, Cutler, our big voice guy, or Nick Haley? 713-780-3776. YouTube TV customers, get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back. 713-780-3776. So yesterday, the Houston Texans game tied at 15. Denver were able to pin. I don't even want to call this a pin. But the Texans started with the football at the 13-yard line, first and 10, with a minute 14 left to play. Tie game, 15 apiece. Here was he's being criticized, D'Amico, for being too aggressive here. Incomplete pass, completed pass that should have kept the clock rolling. Bad officiating said he went out of bounds. Forward progress should have been inbounds. Should have been rolling that clock, but they stopped it, saying that Higgins went out of bounds. He did go out of bounds, but he caught the ball, went backwards as he rolled out of bounds. Forward progress was inbounds. Should have been a running clock. And then incomplete pass on third and six. Where do you stand on this, Joe?
I mean, it's hard not to say, looking back at it, revisionist history, should have ran the ball three times and at least forced the clock to run down a little bit to make it harder for Denver. But, I mean, you talk about expectations and what someone said earlier on the text line. You paid Davis Mills. You paid him to complete a pass. Can you complete one, two, to get a first down, to move the clock a little bit? And I think you're right about the forward progress for the completion to Higgins. It probably should have rolled the clock there. So I would frankly, like, I would have done what they did. I don't think they did anything wrong. You got to complete the passes. You trust your quarterback. If that's your belief system, then go for it. Like throw the ball, try to move the ball downfield. But it went as bad as it possibly could have. They had two timeouts left, and you burnt 14 seconds off.
So I think it's an incredibly loser's mentality to say that the Texans should have played for overtime. I think that is as big a loser's mentality that exists. If memory serves, the Texans had two timeouts. You got the ball first and 10 at your own 13 with a minute 14 to play and two timeouts to go. And I understand you haven't been moving the ball. I understand that Davis Mills is a backup quarterback. But playing for overtime there is an absolute loser's mentality. Anybody who's playing for OT in that spot is a loser.
I agree.
Now, should they have thrown like a screen or a running play just to get the clock moving, to get it trickling down? That's where I would agree. There's also the mindset, too, of like, hey, you have to consider, not necessarily plan for, but you have to consider worst-case scenario there. What is worst-case scenario? You go three and out and the clock's never moving. Or you go three and out, you're not forcing Denver to take a timeout at all. But even three running plays and getting 2 yards like they were averaging, Denver's still going to get the football back with 30, 35 seconds to play. And do you know how long it took Denver to get into field goal range on that final possession? 15 seconds. So, like, running the ball three times doesn't even guarantee you overtime. And that's what people are saying. Oh, just run it three times guarantees you OT. No, it doesn't. It guarantees you there's 30, 35 seconds on the clock. Denver's out of timeouts. But Denver got into field goal range in 15 seconds and still would have had an opportunity to win the game. It's always like, well, I would have taken the points there. Well, you're acting as if it's a guarantee to make the field goal when you're making that claim, which is not the case. So I have no problem with the philosophy. In fact, I think it's a loser's mentality to go into that drive playing for overtime. I think it is major loser's mentality. That said, I do think the logistics of not getting the clock rolling a bit and having the worst-case scenario on the back of your mind was a failure from a Nick Haley, D'Amico Ryan's game day management point of view.
Yeah, from an execution part, they totally failed. But, like, why does anyone think they should play for overtime? What are they going to do in overtime? Kick a field goal? The Broncos are going to kick a field goal, and you get a tie? Because you're not going to score a touchdown? So, like, what is playing for overtime accomplish, honestly?
Yeah. See, people would say, well, it gave you a better chance, because I'd rather, like, if I don't know why they think it gives you a better chance.
You had all game to score touchdowns. You didn't score any.
Like, I don't know how it gives you a better chance. I really don't. And the other thing, too, is, like, even if it does get to overtime, you have two bites at the apple. Like, you have two chances to score as opposed to one in overtime. Yeah, your down and distance might be better. Like, your field position might be better. But you know what else? It might not. it might not be better. That Denver punter was pretty good. Maybe he pins you at the five. Maybe Denver scores a touchdown with the opening possession, and now you need 7 points to keep the game alive, and maybe you go for two. All that stuff doesn't really matter. But maybe Denver has the football first, scores, and they pin you back at the 20. Is that a better situation to be in than 15-15? Is it better to be down 22-15 needing a touchdown? Absolutely not. Yeah, I this was a weird criticism to me. I thought it was kind of people looking for reasons to be mad at D'Amico Ryans. Here was Davis Mills after the game on that final offensive possession, the thought process behind it.
Yeah, I mean, we got the ball back with, a minute and 14 seconds or something, two timeouts. So we're going down trying to score, at least getting field goal range for Emi to make a field goal and win the game.
Nothing wrong with that logic?
Not at all.
All right.
Here they was just failed at it.
They failed at it, which they failed the entire game. But, execution versus thought process, game plan. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday on the last offensive possession.
Yeah, the thought there, we wanted to get some quick passes to get us moving. We're trying to drive down and, of course, try to get in field goal range to have a couple quick incompletions. It was not the plan at all for us.
Okay, the pushback there would be, well, run a draw. Maybe run a draw. Maybe run a screen. That would be the pushback there, but I have no problem with the philosophy. And then D'Amico today was asked by our very own Will Kunkel. I love the way that Will phrased it. Will phrased, he goes, D'Amico, do you regret your decision on that last possession?
We're trying to get in position to score, right? We tried to throw the ball. We had a couple quick options to throw the football, and then get the clock moving, get our two-minute drive started. It didn't happen.
There you go.
No regret.
No regrets. No regrets from D'Amico Ryans. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Josh, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up?
Jeremy, Joe, and Joel. Pleasure talking to y'all once again. Calling out of Philly, man. I'm a Texans fan second. There's a couple things that troubled me, okay? I mean, Howie, I know, is a high expectation on the GM spectrum. But I feel like Nick Casario doesn't take as much accountability as he needs to. Okay, I feel like throughout the course of the league, especially after everything that Howie has done in the last couple of days, I know a lot of people all across the league that are sitting here asking, why isn't my GM doing this? Why isn't my GM doing that? Why is my coach always taking, the criticism and the toll for this and that? Yada, yada, yada. Nick Casario, I feel like, is on the perspective of having Howie tendencies and having the capability to do the things that Howie needs. But there's certain things that I've seen yesterday that just kind of trouble me. I think in the position of the GM, it's to go ahead and set your team up for success with the players and things that you need. And then coaching within that, obviously you fall under the ladder of the GM. But I feel like if not, the GM should take just as much accountability, if not a little bit more, from D'Amico Ryans or the coaching staff pertaining to what's going on the field. So just something as little as yesterday, we're giving Nick Chubb the ball, okay, on the 1 yard line. We're talking about 3 foot from the red zone here. Like Joe was saying earlier, the only team that's not scoring there, and I know, Jeremy, I know you think it's so hard. You can't tell me you can't put Dalton Schultz or another guy behind C.J. Stroud and push him up 3 foot on three down. So just, I think Nick Casario is a cop out in the city. I think that we make a lot of excuses for him, and we play the safe card for him as well. But I think a part of the coaching success when it comes to teams like this and the tools in which you have also fall on the GM within itself as well.
Josh, wouldn't you say the game plan of using Schultz behind the center, though, would be more the coaching staff? Lost him.
No, he would not say that.
Because I think Josh might be Milo on a mobile. I think he is. I'm not 100% sure, but just a theory of mine. No, I think Josh brings up a good point. Now, what is the Texans' issue? Is the Texans' issue because they lack talent? Or is it because they're getting out-schemed? Honestly, I think it's a little bit of both. I think in the trenches they lack talent. I think that's a dangerous place to get overmatched game in, game out. Whenever you're trying to outwit the other team because they have the advantage in the trenches every single week, you're not going to win many football games like that. You're just not. Now, the Texans' defensive line is very good. So we're talking specifically on the offensive side. So is the Texans' issue personnel or is the Texans' issue scheme? Because if it's personnel, then it's Nick Casario. If it's scheme, it's coaching staff.
It's all of the above.
Yeah, probably.
It can't be. It's not one or the other. I wish it was, because then like you could more easily fix one of these things. You can hire your third offensive coordinator in 3 years, but that offensive coordinator is probably also going to want to be able to run the ball from the 1 yard line. And you don't have the talent in front to be able to execute that. Like it's a collective issue than more than it is a one or the other at this point for all the Texans' problems.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like position by position. I think there's a little bit of both. I do think the Texans are getting out-schemed in areas. That's not radical to say. And then there are some other key areas where they're out-personneled. They have a talent deficiency, especially on the offensive line. I mean, it's a terrible place to have a talent deficiency. It might be – like, where would you rank that unit in terms of the worst places to have a talent deficiency?
Two?
It might be – it's definitely behind quarterback.
Yep.
But is it next?
I mean, because I would put offensive line in front of defensive line, right?
Yeah. Like, to me, that's the argument. I think it's offensive line or edge rushers.
Yeah, I would say – like, would I trade in Danielle Hunter for – one offensive lineman that could move a body so you could run behind right now? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
I would.
Especially, I mean, these defensive linemen, too, rotate a lot. Have you noticed this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, they played a lot yesterday, I guess. Danielle Hunter played 86% of the snaps. Yesterday's game's not a good case point for me. But he likes to rotate his defensive linemen. And, you know, like if you have Will Anderson, like you can get by without having great edge play on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point, though. 713-780-3776. Junkies have some thoughts. There was a little gotcha journalism today, which I can understand why D'Amico Ryans is getting upset with the media. I can understand. There was some gotcha journalism with D'Amico. We'll get your thoughts as well, yesterday's game. Also, is it fair to be critical of Kyme Fairbairn? What do you think about that? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Some of these media might need HRMP in their lives. They might need it. Mike Holley, U of H class of 1990. Go Cougs. Chris Fisher over there. Chris Fisher's got to be on cloud nine right now with what the Aggies are doing. I'm happy about it for him. But HRP's been protecting the interests of businesses for nearly 25 years. 25 years on the knows, actually. HRP provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. HRP is going to work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HRP. You need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between. HRP will create a plan for what you and your business needs. Plus, they're just a great ally to have on your side in the business world. They keep up to date with all the trends that you need to know. They're going to relay that information to you. Great, great ally to have in your corner. Their customer service, second to nobody. You're never going to talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll always call someone familiar with you, familiar with your company. I can attest to that customer service. We use HRP here at Gal. Anytime I have a question, quick response, easy to understand. Let HRP take on the demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out online at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
YouTube TV customers, get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back. 713-780-3776. Texter, the Texans D-line is very good. Question mark, exclamation point, question mark, exclamation point. They never laid a finger on Knicks all game, exclamation point. That's because Denver gets rid of the football quickly because they avoid sacks. Hopefully they don't avoid sacks. Those are very good. They avoid sacks. But do you know what Bo Nix did yesterday? 18 of 37. Not efficient. Did get sacked once. That's their philosophy. We get rid of the football. We don't take negative plays. That's not a piece of evidence that says the Texans' defensive line is not very good. In fact, the Texans' defensive line, even with only getting to the quarterback one time, created havoc, created pressure, created Knicks to go 18 for 37. Denver, if anything, could have ran the ball a little bit more against that defensive line, but they were trailing most of the game. That's not an indication that the Texans' defensive line is not very good. It's a casual take.
I mean, yeah, they got to him four times. They only sacked him once. They hit him four times. They did plenty. They're not the problem yesterday. I even saw people trying to complain about the defense at the end of the game, Jeremy, by allowing the big Bo Nix run. I'm like, what do you want, these guys to be perfect every play? Like, I get they allowed it in the end. Like,
it didn't help that it was Toa Toa that was kind of the nearest man.
Yeah,
because we all remember what happened in the Bucks game. But I agree with your point overall.
He does stink. Which, by the way, why is Henry Toa? Like, you were talking about Jalen Noel over Kirk, which I think is just like fake outrage, because that wasn't at all anything that was significant in the game yesterday. Sorry, Joe. Why did Henry To'o play so much and EJ Speed play so little? Henry To'o played 86% of the snaps yesterday compared to EJ Speed's 30%. The two biggest plays in that game yesterday, well, two of the top three, four, five biggest plays of the game yesterday that Denver had offensively, two of them were against Henry To'o. The Will route to R.J. Harvey, and then the huge scramble by Nix because To'o To'o's drifting away with nobody in sight.
I mean, the R.J. Harvey one is he's flat-footed. He is not moving in any way. He just gets burned. He's stumbling as he tries to turn around to chase him down because he's totally
completely
unprepared.
Completely stopped his feet.
Yeah, it's bad play.
He should have just tackled him.
Yes.
Yeah, legit.
They would have been better off.
Henry To'o To'o was Henry Toast. I apologize. That was terrible. 713-780-3777. Let's quickly go out to the HRP listener line and carry on. Chris, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Good afternoon. So put me in the camp of I had an issue with how the last minute of the game was called for the Texans. Our defense is the strong part of our team. Our defense is what's carrying us this season. So put the defense on the field, and maybe they get a fumble. Maybe they get an interception. Maybe something good happens while the defense is on the field. But the offense has clearly shown all game long, with Davis Mills there, that they're not able to get anything done. And I think, especially after hearing that clip today, and Jeremy, you alluded to it, where D'Amico is talking about, we just got to pound it in. We just got to pound it in. It's a willpower. I mean, it's almost like he's saying our team doesn't have willpower there for a little bit. But I definitely think that he's in the headset of the offensive coordinator telling him what plays to play. And I think D'Amico, at the end of the game, his emotions took over rather than the rational D'Amico, because rational D'Amico would have been like, you know what, let's at least run it on first down, get the clock moving, and put the decision-making on the other side of the field to see what they do. And then what if we get a 15-yard run on first down? I'm asking for miracles. I know, but I'm just saying make that clock run. And so I feel like if we play to our strength and that's putting the defense on the field, then the outcome would have been different. So that's all I got to say.
I mean, the defense was on the field, though. Like, it was first and 10 at Denver's 36 with 50 seconds to play. Like, I understand that's not the best field position, but that is your defense on the field at the 36. Go get me a stop. And then the defense allowed Bo Nix to scramble for 25 yards immediately in field goal range. Mm-hmm. Like, the defense had it. And I'm not blaming the defense. The defense, I thought, played out of this world yesterday. They had a few hiccups, Henry To'o To'o, but you're not going to be perfect in the NFL. They were really good defensively yesterday. Defense is nowhere near why they lost that game. The defense kept you in the game. The defense gave you an opportunity to win the game. But the defense could have gotten a stop on the last possession. I mean, the ball was in Denver's side of the field. It was in Denver territory. And they got into field goal range like that. Like that. It took two plays. They were in field goal range. So the defense had a chance. Now, play callers call it drive starters. I would have liked a screen, halfback draw, running play, drive starter there. Just get the clock rolling. Give you some positive momentum. Give you a little bit of a chance to, you know, if you didn't like what you saw on that first down play, you get stuffed at the line. Okay, we're going to have to change our opinion and our mindset here. I get that. I get that. I would have liked a better first down play. I don't like the attitude of running out onto the field offensively with a minute 10 to play in a tie game. Be like, we're playing for OT. Mm-hmm. We're terrible. We're going to overtime. No, it's a loser's mentality. Now, running play, screen, first down, get it. Totally get it. And if you get stuffed, TFL, okay, you reserve the right to change your opinion because now it's a different scenario. I get that. Totally get that. I think it's a loser's mentality to not want to score the football, though.
Yeah, I mean, the play call was like an out route to what was it, Christian Kirk or Nico? That was a bad throw there from
Kirk.
Davis Mills. I mean, it's an out route to the sticks, trying to get a first down and stop the clock at the same time. The play call was fine. The player was open. Davis Mills threw a bad ball.
Threw a bad ball.
Like, it's, and that's where you can go back to the coaching of, are you, like, are you cognizant enough of who your quarterback is in that moment to make that play call? Like if, see, I don't want to revisionist history too much, but like, I do like it more of what they executed if CJ was there. I think so with the Carson and what you're saying, it's right. You should have run something really easy on the first play, see what comes of it, and then go from there.
A little heat check, little drive starter, see what's going on. I mean, Mills had two terrible throws in yesterday's game that could have changed the outcome of the game. The Schultz post over the middle that he threw behind him, behind his helmet. Schultz tried to go back one-handed with a bum shoulder. And then the deep post to Christian Kirk. I want to say it was in the fourth quarter, where it was a clear first down, field goal range, you could get it. It's like on a 3rd and 12, 3rd and 13, airmails it right over his head. Is it fair to blame Kymie Fairbairn at all for yesterday's game?
Yeah, he's not consistent enough right now.
He was 5 for 6, Joe.
I need him to be 6 for 6. Sorry.
It was a 50-something yarder that he missed.
Make a 50-yarder. Like, you got you lost by 3. You got to blame someone. You make the field goal, you're in overtime.
You're blaming everybody.
I am blaming everyone.
You're blaming Christian Kirk.
No one deserves a pass for yesterday. Not a single person on this roster deserves a pass for this loss yesterday.
Will Anderson?
Okay, he's the only one.
Well, maybe Jalen Noll because he didn't play.
You're right. The guys who didn't play deserve a pass.
Kalen Bullock?
I don't know.
He got a pick.
Was he supposed to be over top for Derek Stingley when he got burned? Because he did get burned.
There's some debate there.
Yeah, so I don't know the answer to that question, so I can't give Kalen Bullock a pass or give him full blame.
There was Stingley does look back at Bullock like he's trying to pass the coverage. Yeah, that's one of those plays where like you want to be a fly on the wall, and who was to blame there?
Because
Stingley definitely looks at Bullock. Now, would he look at Bullock because he's like, oh, crap, I'm burned? Or do you look at Bullock because he was passing off the coverage to him?
Because I look at it more of, oh, crap, I got burned because he got burned.
Yeah.
I don't really – like, it didn't look like it was an intentional I have help over the top kind of play from Derek Stingley Jr., but, you know, we're not in the situation room there, so we don't know.
Yeah, I blame Austin Brinkman, quite frankly. He's a high snapper, and I don't like it.
Ooh.
What?
That's the long snapper's name?
Yeah.
I do not know this man.
Y'all know who Austin Brinkman is?
Yeah, I don't really focus
on the special. Y'all even watch the Texans play?
I forget about the long snapper's
name. You guys don't notice the high snaps that he has routinely?
I notice them.
I don't know that you do.
I just don't notice his name.
It's right there on the back of his jersey.
He's not John Weeks to me.
You want to hear some gotcha journalism?
Yes.
So there's been some beef.
Yes.
There's been some beef with the Texans and the media. Not the Texans and the media. There's been beef with DeMeco and the media. He got a little short with some of the questions. They kind of got sensitive whenever he went back at them. I think there's a lot of sensitivity going on in that dynamic. So our boy, I like Landry. I text Landry all the time. Landry tried a little gotcha journalism today.
Hearing him and Kamari had good games yesterday, you immediately trusted them, and they've been consistently impacting the game. What's stopping Jalen Noll and Jaden Higgins from doing that early in their career?
You're talking about, I mean, four completely different guys. I don't think you can – it's not apples to apples as you compare those guys. But all our young guys have done a really good job. They're all growing, developing, doing the things that we asked them to do. I think Jay Noll and Jay Higgins have done a really good job of the things we've asked them to do.
DeMeco didn't take the cheese there, Joe.
He did not.
He didn't take the cheese.
Landry tried.
I mean, the natural pushback there, though, is if they've done a really good job, why aren't they on the field?
Sure, but that the question
was phrased.
Not
going to give you anything, I know.
You trusted these guys, and you did such a great job with these guys, and these young players played, and you really did a great job. Why aren't you doing the same over here? That was some good old gotcha journalism. I appreciate the effort. I do. I appreciate the effort. But DeMeco was a pro with that one. He didn't take the bait. A little gotcha journalism.
Probably going to get upset with the media again this week, though, it feels like.
Yeah, he didn't love some of the questions later in that. He handled them well, but he kind of scoffed at a few. He scoffed at the regrets of that final possession. I think he scoffed at a Nico Collins question, like, why did he have a bad second half? Yeah, he doesn't – if this goes sour, there could be some contentious moments. Yeah, like further. I mean, you're 3-5. Like, I know it's been bad, but if you rattle off 4 or 5 losses, like in a 6 or 7-game stretch, and we're looking like at a 5-10 point of the season – it's going to be ugly, man.
I feel like it's going to get real ugly. Because I'll say what I said last week. I feel like some of this is personal. But
yeah.
Because even the stuff that, you know, like DJ, you know, said on Gallant's podcast about how players are upset about what's being said to the media because they're listening to the press conferences and then what they're hearing differently. Like, that was like when I heard D'Amico talk about like winning at the line of scrimmage in the red zone, I was like, players might not like that one because that's a direct shot at your players for not doing their job publicly. Yeah.
But I don't mind direct shots. Like, some of these people need a little old school coaches in their life. All right, 713-780-3776. CJ Stroud, was it a cheap shot on CJ Stroud? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You know where you have to never worry about watching a game, if it's going to be on your television screen or not? ESPN Bet at LaBerge in Lake Charles. Plus, if you're watching the Texans game, I don't know, it's not very good. Up there, they've got every single game going on. The new window this week had all one score games except for one. So it was a great window. It would have been a great time at LaBerge. And like Charles will be back there this weekend for all the college football action on Saturday, the NFL games. On Sunday, we'll be doing shows on Saturday and Sunday from 12 to 1:30 and then 10 to 2. It's a great place to go because they got your NBA season-long bets. You can still get them in right now. So if you're feeling good about where the Rockets look like right now, you can wager on them. You can do up to 20 leg parlays. And plus, you can earn rewards on every single wager you place when you use your Pen Play card. Plus, there's plenty of other perks that come with that Pen Play card as well, even as much as free night stays. That once you're there for a while, once you're involved in the program for a while, they just show up in your account. You can use those as well. They also offer you a chance to place wagers on all of the Houston area teams. Must be 21 to bet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.
Lakin Tomlinson again this week. Four-man pressure from Denver. Stroud breaks for Pintain. He'll run up the middle, and oh, he gets popped. Chris Abrams drain, and here comes the flag.
Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
YouTube TV customers get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back. Was that a cheap hit, Joe?
No, it was not. It was not to the head. It's not a cheap hit. Was I surprised it wasn't a penalty? Yeah, I was. Just because of the way they protect quarterbacks these days in the NFL, I thought we were going to see a 15-yard penalty there. But no, I do not think that was a cheap hit.
Yeah, I don't either. I hate the slide hit rule. I want to get rid of sliding in the NFL. I think that it's, one, I think it's more dangerous than just running the football. Like, I think it's more dangerous than just kind of plowing ahead. Like, C.J. Stroud's a big boy. Like, C.J. Stroud, I'm not going to say he trucks that guy, but C.J. Stroud would have been in a lot safer position if he just, like, tries to truck him as opposed to sliding down and putting your head in harm's way. And then you have the whole momentum of slamming back. Like, we see this time and time again. There was a play last week where C.J. Stroud ran, and he slid and got underneath by, like, 6 inches of a dude who, like, launched right at him. Mm-hmm. And C.J. Stroud even mentioned after the game, he was like, I almost got my head taken off. Then why are you sliding? Don't slide. It's an unfortunate play. It's stunk because the Texans, I think, win the game without C.J. I don't think it was a dirty play at all. I want to eliminate sliding. I also question, like, he did slide late. I agree there. I also question what C.J. Stroud was seeing on the play. Like, I don't mind him running. Like, he has a chance for the first down. He escaped from the A-gap, it looked like. Like, you have a chance to get the first down there. But if you go back and watch the play, Stroud's running, like, a crossing route from, like, the top of your screen to the bottom of your screen. Why isn't he following Schultz? Why is he not following a blocker? Instead, he cuts inside of Schultz and then takes a direct hit. So I thought Stroud, and look, you know, concussion, we all hate that it happened. Who knows how he's going to be, how long he's going to be out. I don't like him sliding. I also question, why in the world are you running to the right when your blocker's to the left and there are not defenders over there?
It's also
the
not
vision there was poor.
It's a poor slide, too.
It was a really bad slide.
He's chopping his feet and going down and falling backwards. That's not a slide. Somebody needs to teach him how to slide.
Why is he running that way, too?
Yeah,
like, go back and watch the play
sense.
And look at Schultz. Follow Schultz.
Yeah, I'm watching it right now.
Go away from the defenders.
You're right. Like, if he goes to the left, Schultz has a one-on-one with the safety, and C.J. Stroud's got a linebacker chasing him from behind. It's probably a first down.
Yeah, I thought
and
it was
also, like, not on the ground.
I thought it was bad vision, and I thought it was a bad slide, if you don't even want to call it a slide, and then I don't want him to slide, period. I wish they would get rid of sliding in the NFL. Just let them play football. Let them go at each other. Let them hit. Stop. And it's dangerous for the quarterback. It's more dangerous for the quarterback when you slide because this play becomes possible. If you're running and just getting tackled, I think it's less likely you get concussed. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Travis, you're in with Jeremy and Joe.
Hey, gentlemen. Did y'all watch the game on TV where you had the game?
TV.
Yeah, did you hear Daryl Johnson question why are they crowding the line? I mean, everybody in Houston is yelling at their TV because every time they crowd the line, they try to run that 34 dive, they get stuffed. And I don't know why they can't get it through their head. If you spread out the offense, you spread out the defense, you have more of a chance of getting that 34 dive in with bigger gaps. But I don't know why they haven't fired that offensive coordinator yet. It is ridiculous, guys.
It is bad.
I'm so fed up.
Yeah, he's terrible. Nick Haley is terrible at his job.
He's really, really bad. It's a great call, Travis. Nothing to really say. It's not good. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Blair, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Blair?
What's going on, guys? In regards to the slide, I don't think it was a cheap hit. I think it was a horrible slide. Horrible slide.
Bingo. Appreciate it, Blair.
I mean, chopped.
No argument here. No argument. It was bad vision. It was a bad decision. It was a bad slide, if we want to call it that. It wasn't dirty. I think we're all in agreement here. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Julian, you're with Jeremy and Joe. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't call for anything other than to say congratulations to my daughter and her softball team, the Rich Rose Girls Softball Association 8U Falcons Tournament Champion.
All right.
Have a good day, guys.
Congratulations. But, Julian, you're out of here. You're banned for the rest of the show.
You just made the list.
You're gone. You can call back tomorrow. Bang, bang, Niner gang. 713-780-3776. The Junkies have some thoughts on this hit to C.J. Stroud. D'Amico, too. Is D'Amico being a hypocrite with what happened yesterday and what happened with Aziz Alshire and Trevor Lawrence last year? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I don't know if you're being a hypocrite, but you're being a bad consumer if you're not going to Monument Chevrolet. Monument Chevrolet is the best dealership in town. They have been for 50 years, too. If you're in the market for a new vehicle or maybe a pre-owned vehicle, Monument Chevrolet is for you because they're the dealer that you can trust. You know, a lot of these dealerships you go to and you wonder, you know, yeah, are they pulling one over on me? How much are they going to raise this price? How close is this to being the right price? Are they going to upcharge me with all these extended warranties that they're not even going to honor? Who knows? But you don't have to worry about that at Monument Chevrolet. They're transparent there. Not going to hassle you with pricing. You're going to get your car shopping done fast. It's going to be the best car buying experience that you've ever had. It's why they've been in the area for 50 years. They're a pillar of the city. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, and then these families keep coming back because they enjoy their experience so much with Monument Chevrolet. It's a family feel there at Monument Chevrolet. It's a friendly atmosphere, and it's palpable, too. The moment you step foot on their massive lot full of tons of inventory, the moment that you walk into their showroom, you can feel it. You can feel it. It's great people. Culture's fantastic, too. Get a fair deal at transparency. Parent deal, a no-hassle deal without wasting your time in those aggravating, stressful negotiations that make your hair gray. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. Get out there to Monument Chevrolet, 225 at Beltway 8. Mention that inventory so big on their lot. They have streets on their lots. It's so big. Or just check them out online at monumentchevrolet.com. Monumentchevrolet.com. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
YouTube TV customers get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back. This junkie, no way you actually think trying to run someone over is safer than sliding. Yesterday's situation, I absolutely do. C.J. Stroud is 6'3", 220. Chris Abrams' drain is petite. He's a petite 5'11", 180. He's dainty. C.J. Stroud would not be concussed if he tried to bulldoze over this 5'11", dainty corner.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think acting like quarterbacks can't lower their shoulder and hit someone because they're a quarterback is ridiculous. The slide is a problem. It's been a problem. Teams don't know how to play it well defensively. Quarterbacks get hurt all the time. And even when a hit is perfectly fine, like this one is, the problem is the head bouncing off the ground. That's why you shouldn't be sliding, because that's the real effect. Most of the time, when a quarterback gets hit on these plays, it's with the head bouncing off the turf. It's not from the actual contact. Like the Aziz one is different. Trevor Lawrence's head hits the ground, yes, but Aziz also shoves his forearm into Trevor Lawrence's face. Like, there is a difference.
No, it rolled up into his face mask. Yeah. He hit the initial contact was upper chest.
But he still, because of the angle, he still hit him in the face.
So you're going to hit a guy on the upper chest and then you expect zero momentum and zero rolling up into the face mask?
No, not at all. But like,
it has to be penalized.
It's they're different plays because of the angle in which the defender hit the quarterback. Like, I don't think what Aziz did was that bad because I think the quarterback slide's a joke. Like, I don't know what a quarterback's supposed to do, but that's why the Aziz one to me was worth the penalty. This one, unfortunately, it was not. It was from the side. He didn't get hit in the head.
Valid. Hate that. I hate it, but it's valid. Valid point, Joe.
Thanks.
Here was D'Amico yesterday on the Stroud play.
Yeah, well, CJ scrambled. Of course, he tried to. He slid, and the guy, you know, came up and hit him. As I see, is unnecessary roughness. He hit the quarterback when he's sliding and giving himself up. If I'm incorrect on the rule, I've seen that happen multiple times, you know, with our guys, and we get the penalty. But for some reason, it just didn't happen there.
We got to do something with the his scoffs are so noticeable.
Yeah, because he's not happy.
We need a D'Amico scoff meter.
Yeah, we were actually Joe Mapes and I were talking about that before the show. Like, that seems to be a tell. Yeah, with D'Amico. Like, I noticed that while pulling the clip, the is a little clue that like he's mad, but he's not going to tell you that he's mad.
This can be like our hyperbolic Hollins. Miko scoffs. Because his scoffs are like he's not happy about something. Yeah. Here was D'Amico today after watching the video, all that of the Stroud play.
Yeah, look, it's a tough play, right? The quarterback is sliding. The quarterbacks are protected when they slide. But what I'm learning is if you hit them, don't hit them in the head or neck area. They slide. You hit them in the chest, then that's just fine. So that's what I learned.
There you go. He's still not pleased by it. He is being called a hypocrite, though, because he had this stance with Aziz last year.
We stand behind Aziz and everything, you know, that came from that. Of course, he unfortunately hit on the quarterback. But it's also, it's twofold, right? I mean, a lot of the quarterbacks in this day and age, they try to take advantage of the rule where they slide late and they try to get an extra yard. And now you're a defender. A lot of onus is on the defender, right? Whether it's on the sideline or where it's on the quarterback, you don't know what a guy's thinking. You don't know if a guy's standing up and he's continuing to run. You don't know. And then you get a late slide and you hit the guy. Unfortunately that Trevor got hurt. We want hope Trevor is okay, but it's also if we're sliding, we have to get down. If we're getting out of bounds, we get out of bounds. And that rule is there to protect the quarterbacks. And we want our quarterbacks to be safe in the league. So we just have to be safe. If we're sliding, make sure we're keeping our heads down. So, and the entire thing is, you know, Aziz is the guy, but their sideline overreacts, and it turns out and turns into a melee. It wasn't our guys. It's their team overreacted, pushed our guy, dragging our guy to the sideline. So that's uncalled for on that side. We have to be better on the sidelines as well with both teams.
All right. Is this hypocritical?
Yeah, man.
It is.
It's hypocritical because hypocritical. And this is where, like, I remember doing shows the next day, and the argument that callers and texters kept saying was, what if it was CJ? Well, this is it. CJ Stroud gets hit. He's out with a concussion for who knows how long. Quarterbacks slide like this. They slide late. As D'Amico said, what's the defender supposed to do?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not surprised D'Amico flips because you're always going to defend your guy no matter what, right? But, yeah, he sounds very hypocritical in it.
The only area that you can, like, give him a little bit of grace, I guess, would be that I don't think that Stroud was trying to get an extra yard. I just think it was a very late and terrible slide, if we wanted to call it a slide. But no, it's hypocritical. A lot of the things that he was saying last year to defend disease on his hit about Lawrence, he's saying the opposite today and yesterday on the hit against Stroud. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Noah, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up?
Yo, what's up, y'all? I think that was a terrible slide. He was about to get hit. He got scared, gave his body up, and this is a gladiator sport. It's violent. These defenders are not looking to be your friend. And so, yeah, that's what's going to happen if you're just going to, you know, curl up in a ball on the ground. And also, one thing I want to say is hopefully this turns CJ's season around. You know, he's been moping around, depressed. He just really doesn't look like himself. So hopefully this wakes him up. You know, playing a grown man's game out here. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
I mean, hey, great quarterbacks sometimes say that concussions solve your problems.
Who said that?
Arch Manning.
Oh, that's true.
They asked him after the game why he played better. He said maybe it was the concussion.
Texas is back, folks. I think that's a good take, Noah. I don't really have anything to disagree with. I wish Stroud would have. Look, and Stroud could just wear the hit. Like, don't slide. Don't make your back of your skull vulnerable to the whiplash effect against the hard turf. Just absorb the hit or run left. Run left. There's yardage to the left. There are no defenders to the left.
Or
run
dive.
Left. CJ Stroud.
Get more yards?
Yeah, I don't understand like his route on that play. The route on his play frustrates me.
Yeah.
It's like this is like what are you where? Why are you CJ? You're running towards defenders and away from your blocker. And someone was scoffing at Dalton Schultz being a blocker. I get it. I get it, but still, he's a body that's impeding the defense.
He's your
hopefully.
Blocker on that play.
Yeah, where is he going? 713-780-3776, back out to the HRMP listener line. Lone Ranger. What's up, Lone Ranger? You're in with Jeremy and Joe.
Howdy. So howdy. When Stroud was drafted, before he was drafted, he tested very low on that C2 cognitive test, and everyone kind of waved it off after his first year. But the past two years, he's been pretty poor under pressure, and now you're seeing that bad slide. Do you think there's any correlation with that cognitive score and its inability to make quick decisions, either when running or while under pressure?
I don't know about necessarily with running, but I'm open to some of the low S2 stuff with CJ now. Jeremy, I don't know how you feel about that, but There's things he does that make me question this test a little bit again. And like maybe we crucified it too much.
I mean, I believe in sports IQ. I believe that players have, like, just use the Rockets, for example. I think Amen Thompson has a high elite level of basketball IQ. I think he knows how to play the game. I think he knows where to be. I think he knows inside-outside leverage, to borrow a football term, whenever he's defending another team's best player. So I absolutely believe in high sports IQ. I was very, very below average as an athlete. I felt one of my strengths was I had a high sports IQ and I could know where to be. And I think that it was like a cheat code for me. So I believe in having a high sports IQ. If you were to grade just 1 to 10, a very, you know, Neanderthal way of grading somebody's sports IQ, 1 to 10, where would you be on CJ?
Like a 6?
His football IQ. Okay, I was going to say 5. I don't think it's elite. I don't think it's bad. I think there's certain areas where it's good. I think there's some certain areas when it's poor. He's like, who do I think has the highest football IQ at the position?
Mahomes.
I think there's a lot. I think Mahomes is a great call. I think Mahomes is fantastic. Mahomes would be at a 10 for me. I think Jalen Hurts is a 10. I think there's a lot. Who are other bad ones? I thought Will Levis was a 1. You know,
yeah.
I think he had bad football IQ.
Jordan
Love. I don't think Josh Allen has great football IQ.
No.
I think he's just so physically superior than everybody else. Trevor Lawrence is a great call. Lawrence has like a 2 or a 3. I think Stroud grades out in the middle. I don't think he has elite football IQ, but I don't think it's the worst. I think I'd put him right in the middle.
Yeah, I think the S2 test is overblown, but at the same time, it's showing signs of maybe that's why it was lower than to be expected. Because, again, going back to it, like, it's not the end-all be-all. Some of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL have tested very high on the S2 test. So just because you test well on that doesn't really mean anything in low either. But he just does things. He's done things over the last 2 years that Or it's fair to bring it back into question.
Yeah, I think it's right in the middle. Todd, the show said Stafford. Yeah, that's a great call. Yep. Stafford would test out high on my 1 through 10, my eye test, how good is his football IQ. Stafford will be up there. And look, some of that's experience in like playing tons of snaps in the NFL. B. Hannon, who's a Chargers fan, says Herbert has been bad. Yeah, he's another guy who has I don't watch enough of Herbert to really know his football IQ that much. But there is, you know, maybe that's the reason that his football talent is way up here and his football production hasn't met that. Maybe that comes into play there. So, no, I think it's a fair criticism. I think he's average.
Yeah, and that stuff can get better. I think, like, this slide. The slide just needs to be better. He doesn't get hurt, whether it's take the tackle, dive forward for more yards, protect yourself in a better way. It's a low S2 play.
Football IQ grade should be Vince Young to Tom Brady, says a junkie. I think it should be Jamarcus Russell to Tom Brady.
The lowest of lows to the highest of highs. Yeah, that's good.
Kyler Murray, low football IQ. Good call. Yep. Like, Kyler Murray, elite athlete. Some would call him the greatest athlete currently walking planet Earth. That's an active player. But that low football IQ leads to a lack of production. It matters. It carries a huge value. All right, 713-780-3776. I'm going to dip out, go call some Houston Cougar basketball, go Cougs season opener, and the boys will take you the rest of the way. How about that win for Buffalo yesterday? Pair of contenders, question mark? Are the Bills the team to beat in the AFC? The boys will chop it up. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe featuring Brian for the last hour on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. But before I go, you might even call this a last call. Higgins Boat Rum is the best. You need to get your hands on a bottle immediately. Rum anchored in time. Higgins Boat Rum is known as the Texas Bourbon Drinker's Rum. It's probably why we hit it off so much. It's bold. It's smooth. It's even steeped in history. Honors the greatest generation. Perfect to sip neat on the rocks, a big rock. It's also perfect for crafting your Texas-inspired cocktails. Try your Old Fashioned with it. Try your Manhattan with it. The classics, too. Pina Colada. A Mai Tai. It's eggnog season now, too. How about that? Higgins Boat Rum pays tribute to our military heritage and is named after the iconic landing craft from World War II. Higgins Boat Rum donates 10% of profits from every bottle to Camp Hope, which supports our veterans. So you're honoring heroes with every pour of Higgins Boat Rum. Follow Higgins Boat Rum on all their socials. Get tasty cocktail ideas. I saw an eggnog recipe that they were crafting. That looked very good if eggnog's your thing. Behind-the-scenes stories, live updates of your new favorite rum as well. If you're going to the Rice homecoming this weekend, they're going to be out there. Make sure you stop by the Higgins Boat Rum tailgate. It's going to be a great time. A premium top shelf rum at a great price. Get your bottle now at Total Wine in Baybrook or at HigginsBoatRum.com. HigginsBoatRum.com. Shipping to 48 states across the country at HigginsBoatRum.com. Bottling the spirit of excellence.
ESPN 97.5.